Braves are trying to come back in this one, down 3-1. They scored a run in the first pitch of the game from Jurickson Profar's little solo job, and they haven't scored since. Tell me where you've heard that one before. And Eric Fetty gave up three runs, and that's all she wrote. Daisbell Hernandez is back on the mound trying to make things work in the top of the eighth. I'll keep you posted. And then the Atlanta baseball postgame show from 10 to 11. I'll be taking your calls at 404-726-0929, not just about the game, but what happened over the weekend and what the future of this team looks like. Oh boy, it is going to be a long home stretch here for these Braves. But right now we got to talk about, unfortunately, another team that is not able to find their footing once again in Leagues Cup and got bounced over the weekend, was not able to get points in either of their matches, losing both. Let's welcome in Jason Longshore, Atlanta United analyst, for his weekly visit at Longshoe on Twitter. All right, Jason, what happened in both of these matches? How did we get to this point where the five stripes are unfortunately bounced from Leagues Cup?
I wish I knew at this point. It's really frustrating when the team, in terms of quality of play, and just as long as they can play with the fitness levels that they have in certain positions right now, we'll get to that in a second. When they're at their best, they're playing better for longer periods of time than they have maybe since the first month of the season. And honestly, and just in terms of sheer like judging of quality, I would say better. But they're not getting results for it. And they're also really weak physically in a couple of positions that it showed up on Saturday, where up until about the 60th, 65th minute, before your center backs ran out of gas and started dealing with cramping up, injury, muscle issues, you were the better team against a good team from Mexico. And then the wheels came off and you were already missing Derek Williams when he couldn't go again after playing on Wednesday. You didn't have any other center backs who could go, and you're piecing it together with paper clips. It's frustrating that the play is getting better and the results are getting worse. It shouldn't go that way, but that's how it feels at the moment. So it's just one of these things that even when the team's playing well in games, and I felt this on Saturday calling it, you start kind of waiting for something bad to happen. And if I'm doing that, you know that goes through players' minds, and it goes back to some of the confidence issues that we've talked about all season long. It's just been a really weird, frustrating season, and I don't know the easiest of fixes for it.
You mentioned the wheels falling off and the confidence issues. How much of those two things are directly related to one another in terms of the way that the season has gone and then when the tough gets going, not being able to respond?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think they are very related. I think it's something that, you know, sometimes luck changes that, and this team hasn't gotten any of that this season. I mean, Saturday is a prime example where you have all kinds of crazy, unlucky things go against you, and they just can't catch the break that maybe would fix some of the confidence, maybe fix some of that fear of something bad happening. And we saw it on Wednesday against Necaxa. We saw it against Pumas. Different reasons, different games. I think fatigue factored in a little bit more on Saturday than it did on Wednesday. But it's just, yeah, they're related. And there's not always the easiest fix to get out of that. You know, sometimes it is good luck. Sometimes it's running into somebody who's got more issues than you do. Sometimes it is just grinding something out, and this team right now hasn't shown that it's capable of it. So Leagues Cup is done. You have one more game, but it doesn't matter. You're not going to advance to the knockout rounds. So that's probably going to be a glorified training session on Wednesday with Atlas, with both teams eliminated from the competition. And you look ahead to Saturday in Montreal, and you've got to try to find a way to get something going and try to get some momentum.
You mentioned that it could be a glorified training session, but would there be merit in playing a lot of the regular guys to try to get a confidence boost that maybe, you know, if the other team isn't going full force either, that, you know, maybe you can score three or four goals, and even if it's not something that advances you in the tournament, I mean, anything at this point to try to build confidence, right, Jason?
Yeah, I think you're going to have to a little bit by default, just based off what you have available at the moment. But I think you can be a little strategic about it. You know, I look at somebody like Latte Lott, for example, who gets a goal so far in this week and has had some good moments here. But in general, since the early portion of the season, he struggled, and you can see it. It looks like it's in his head. You know, getting him more minutes here, I think, is a good thing. Maybe getting Saba Lobjanidze more minutes. So he looked really good on Saturday, and he struggled for confidence this season. I think in the back line, you're going to have to rotate some, and I don't know what it's going to look like at center back, because you're just shorthanded there right now. But at fullback, you're probably going to see Dominic Chongqui, a player who's on a first-team deal, academy product, a player who you need to get some minutes here. Will Riley, another one who we've seen, I think, do well with the minutes that he's gotten. Luke Brennan, who has played well. I think it's going to be a mix, but Latte Lott and Saba are two that I look at as they've got the legs to be able to play Wednesday to some degree, maybe not 90 minutes, but maybe 45, maybe even 60, and then still be able to impact the match on Saturday. Because you don't want to burn Saturday to try to get confidence on Wednesday. But I agree with you. I think there is an opportunity for maybe getting some momentum with two guys that did have good days on Saturday in Orlando, and maybe they can build on that.
When it comes to Ronnie Dyla, has he made any public comments about the state of the roster after the squad made so many moves over the last couple of weeks? And if so, what has he said?
Yeah, I think he gets it. We're going to talk to him tomorrow. We're not going to talk to him tomorrow because he's suspended for Wednesday. He got a red card after the final whistle from a very interesting referee on Saturday night in Orlando. I'm not sure if you heard me on the broadcast, but I had a few things to say at the end of it. Referees looked like they were in over their heads a little bit.
Well, for those who didn't catch it, Jason, definitely let our audience know what went down.
Well, the referee struggled to manage some crazy situations at the end. There was a red card to the goalkeeper for Pumas. And after the review of it, which is standard, he didn't really want to leave the field in any kind of a timely fashion, and even walked straight down the middle of the field and turned around and helped organize the wall and get the field player had to go in at that stage and goal, get him kind of stationed in the right spot, which should not have happened. All kinds of time wasting things, all kinds of issues. After the final whistle, Ronnie Dyla told me in the post game press conference that he said this is a joke, and the referee gave him a red card and sent him off. So he is not going to be speaking to the media tomorrow. He's not going to be on the touchline on Wednesday. But I'll be curious to hear what he has to say about the acquisition today. Alzate, the central midfielder, he's been playing in England. He has Colombian heritage as well, somebody that has played for Ronnie Dyla in the past. And hoping that Juan Berrocal, the center back from Spain, can get his visa in working order and be able to participate, if not Wednesday, on Saturday. I think from my conversations with Ronnie, I think he is happy with the moves that are being made. And especially because these are moves that I think are needed to have the team be in a better position to compete. Does it come with some short-term stress? Yes, because you have to move guys out to bring guys in. Sometimes you have to move guys out to get assets to be able to bring guys in. Sometimes to get the guys coming in that you want to get, or to move guys out, you have to do it on a timeline that maybe isn't your favorite. He would love to have more pieces available at the moment, but I think in the long term, he would rather have a better team in general, and that's what the team is hopefully getting to.
Talking all things Five Stripes with Jason Longshore. Make sure you follow him on Twitter at Longshoe. What do you think the internal discussions are like right now behind the scenes from what you're able to gather as they try to pick up the pieces of this season? Now that the sort of shock and awe of it has wore off and you really look towards more of the strategy standpoint to finish out the string this year and then really look towards next season as sort of the fresh start that I think everybody could use. What do you think the upper management of Atlanta United is thinking about not only Ronnie Dyla, but the state of the entire roster?
I think the club believes in Ronnie Dyla. And I know the easy thing on the outside, if you're a fan, is just always yell about firing coaches. I think that's a trope that gets thrown out there way too often. And in this case, having watched this team up close and seeing the training sessions and seeing how games have gone all year long, told you consistently, it doesn't feel like it's tactics to me. It doesn't feel like it's game model. Any of the things that Ronnie affects in matches, it doesn't seem like those are the issues. To me, this has been a combination of the confidence and poor form issues that we've talked about, along with maybe a roster that wasn't as good as people thought it was going to be. That happens. And I think now the moves that you've seen be made to make it better show you a little bit of what they thought was wrong, and I think a little bit of the pathway forward. So you've added two center backs and a central midfielder. I think we've also watched Bartosz Szlich become one of the most important players in the team this summer. So that's the spine of your team, along with Aleksej Marańczuk in front, who has also played very well this summer. So those five are going to form the core foundation of this team going forward. Now you have to get Miguel Almiron and you have to get Latte Lott going. And I think you need the pieces around them to have those two impact games on a regular basis. That's what they were paid for to bring here. And that's what they're being paid for in salary. You need those two to be impactful. So that's seven of your players. And you're going to have to figure out fullback, and you're going to have to maybe figure out left wing. And long-term, I think you're going to have to figure out goalkeeper. But you look at seven guys that you feel like you're going to be building around for the next season. You want to be stronger in the middle, stronger in the spine, and I think more robust to handle difficult games, difficult moments, not have all the injuries, not have all the fatigue issues that this team has had, and just be a stronger, more resilient group.
Jason, when are you going to be on this week? When can the people check you out?
So I'll be on tomorrow after you again, Atlanta baseball post game tomorrow night. So I'll be on at 11. We'll get you ready for Leagues Cup, and we'll get you ready for the trip to Montreal. And then I'll be back on Thursday with the intersection with Noel White. And we'll see who we're going to throw darts at on Thursday. Who would you throw darts at right now if you had to pick somebody?
Ooh, I get the whole sports world to choose from.
You get the whole, that's how we do it. It can be anything. You could even go pop culture if you want. You can go anything.
Oh, right now, you know what? I'm going to have to go Pamela Anderson and Liam Neeson. They're everywhere right now. I cannot do a scroll through my social media without seeing a video of them either doing a press tour or holding a press conference or doing an interview. They are in the spotlight front and center right now.
It is a little bit overkill, I'm not going to lie. So, yeah, we might have to bring that to the bar at the intersection and talk about it on Thursday.
Yeah, especially for a movie that unfortunately just doesn't look very good. I haven't seen it yet, but I doubt it's going to be as good as the original. So we'll see. Jason, appreciate the time. As always, we'll chat again next week.
Thanks, Chris.
All right, that is Jason Longshore there. Yeah, I'm not exaggerating. I cannot scroll on Twitter or Instagram or without seeing one of them doing something. It's crazy to say that at 60 and 70 years old, respectively, they are the new it couple in Hollywood right now. Not often you see that. All right, when we get back, let's get a boots on the ground report from Flowery Branch. Our main man, Joe Patrick, was there today. What did you miss? Don't go anywhere. You'll find out next in 5 minutes. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, Chris Thomas tonight. If you hear this music, you know what time it is. Our next guest traded in his sweaty athleisure attire today for some chilly, windy rainbreakers.
He went viral today, Chris.
Yeah.
Joe Patrick went viral today, not causing trouble. Not for causing trouble, but went viral for some funny reasons.
Yeah. And we'll get to that as well. Joe Patrick on the WadeFord.com hotline. Joe, hope you are dried off. It's always an adventure at camp, whether it's 95 degrees and you're melting and the sweat's coming off your elbows and forearms, or it is like today where you are just being constantly rained on for 2.5-3 hours as practice gets underway and they didn't want to move it inside, but we persist.
Yeah. I this is the first I can really ever remember this kind of weather happening in August. Like, it was crazy. It was one of those days where I got home. I took off the wet socks, you know, that great feeling when that happens, and took a very hot shower. Just kind of stood in there for a while to, yeah, bring my body back up to temp. But it was a
and you contemplated life while you did it, right? You contemplated life. It was one of those scenes in the shower where you're just, your head is underneath the faucet and you're just contemplating life.
Yes, and there's something about training camp weather that's going to make you contemplate life regardless, whether whatever end of the spectrum you're on, if it's 60 degrees and rainy and windy, or if it's, you know, 100 degrees blazing, you're always questioning like life's choices. But it was a fun one to be at today.
Speaking of questioning choices, wow, what a perfect segue, Joe Patrick. Raheem Morris deciding once again the best route for the Atlanta Falcons is neither of their two important quarterbacks to see any time. What do you make of his decision?
I'm not surprised. I thought that he telegraphed this when he was first asked about what his kind of plan for preseason games was going to be. I believe it was in maybe like the first of the press availability that he had before the first practice of training camp, where he basically said the philosophy has not changed. And as soon as he said that, I thought to myself, well, we're not going to see the quarterbacks play. I was going to say the two starting quarterbacks. It's really obviously, you know, Penix and Cousins, and, you know, probably not the starting offensive line. Basically all the starters, I think, are essentially going to sit. And I think it's probably one of the reasons why we've seen the team be kind of active and adjusting their roster over these last several days in kind of acquiring some players and some positions to make sure that they basically have enough bodies to go out there and last through the game, which, again, I expect to be kind of uneventful with a bunch of just like running plays, run out the clock type of situation. But I'm not surprised. And, you know, I would say also on this situation, I've seen a lot of people say, you know, well, if Penix isn't going to play, Kirk has to play in preseason. And it's almost, to me, it comes across like, I read it like it's almost like vengeful or something. Like people are like angry and he needs to play like because he deserves it, or it's like because that's what backup quarterbacks do, et cetera, et cetera. The bottom line is he's not going to play for the same reason that Michael Penix isn't going to play, which is that he's a valued commodity and they are just not going to risk putting him in a situation again where he could be, you know, behind backup linemen and anything could happen at that point, because Kirk Cousins is still a player that offers value to the Falcons as it is right now, but also potentially to another team if something were to happen and the Falcons could really make use of him.
Seems like any concern about Jalen Walker's been nipped in the bud.
Yeah. And this was one for me. I mean, I kind of varied person to person based on who you talked to, how concerned they were. I was never really too concerned about this one. And he was back involved in some team drills. He spoke to the media today. Sounds like everything went well on that front. And it's kind of funny that we actually just haven't really gotten to see a whole lot of him. And yet, having said that, I think Falcons fans are quite excited about this edge room already, just because of what James Pierce Jr. is doing. So if you can add, you know, whatever you think you're going to get from the 15th overall pick and Jalen Walker at that position as well, you know, who knows? There really is no ceiling for this edge room right now. Obviously, there's going to be some, you got to understand there's going to be some limitations with these guys as rookies, but, you know, they both have tons of potential. And I'm not just talking about this season, but just going forward, and that's really exciting.
How has the aforementioned James Pierce Jr. and the physicality manifested itself since the day of the initial skirmish? Has it still been physical? Has it been toned down? What's the vibe?
Yeah, well, there was another skirmish today, and once again, I did not see this one. I had actually stepped away. It happened during the developmental portion of practice, kind of towards the end. And it's funny that it popped off because I had just noticed. I kind of like made a note in my notebook that while the team was doing their 11-on-11 scrimmaging, Raheem Morris was kind of like up talking to James Pierce between plays in the huddle. And, you know, I couldn't really see James Pierce because his back was to me, and he's obviously got like a helmet on and everything, but I could see like Raheem Morris was smiling. And then you could tell like James Pierce Jr. said something to him, and that made Raheem laugh and stuff like that. So it was kind of, you know, all jovial and stuff. And then, you know, 20 minutes later, he's grabbing with a teammate again. And this one from you know, all reporters, and all credit Maria Martin, who I was retweeting from the situation. Coach Morris not very pleased, it sounds like, with this one. He was kind of up giving JPJ the business for this one. So, you know, it's going to be one of those things where, you know, they got to kind of, I don't know if monitor the situation is the right word, but I don't know. I think maybe Friday will be good enough, be good to have him go hit somebody else from another team, maybe get some of that out of him.
Yeah, it certainly sounds like he's not backing down on his end of the bargain about going hard on every single play of every single practice. Yeah, Caleb McGarry obviously gets the extension today. Any surprise, or is this something that you foresaw happening regardless of what happens this season, where he's going to get the full 17 games to see how he can, I know they're not calling it this, Joe, but protect Michael Penix's blindside?
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, like, I think we should be kind of honest with ourselves and saying, like, that is what it is. But, you know, the Falcons are obviously going to kind of have their own, I don't want to say spin. I think it is kind of genuine with the way that they kind of phrase it. But ultimately, like, it is every quarterback has a blind side. And yes, it is his blind side. You know, I think I'm not surprised that they got the extension done. I kind of thought that this might be one that they announced, you know, like the day before training camp starts or something, because you like to have, you know, it seems like teams like to have some positive news to announce on those types of fronts around that time. Took a little bit longer, but I think mainly that what I'm surprised about with regards to the contract is just the great terms for the Falcons. I mean, you know, it's a cheap deal at $15 million average annual value. And it's not, they're not tied down to him super long term. I think if you could have told me, if you would have asked me, like, kind of what the ideal terms were, it probably was a 2-year extension for, you know, obviously the least amount of money you can afford. And at $15 million per year, that's great value for a starting offensive tackle. And an offensive tackle that, yes, while he does clearly struggle against speed rushers, he at least has a clear strength to his game. And that's like for players that have these obvious weaknesses, you need to have obvious strengths as well to kind of balance it out and make yourself a worthwhile member of the squad. I used to kind of talk about Nate Landman like this, because while he obviously struggled in coverage as a linebacker for this team and for a couple of years, he obviously had this great strength as being a big time run stuffer. And so with Caleb McGarry, you get a run blocker that perfectly fits what Dwayne Ledford in this running game wants to do. And and you know, I don't think he's like necessarily a bad pass blocker overall. I just think he's like kind of average, and the reason he's average is because he in particular has struggles against certain prototypes of players. And hey, maybe having James Pierce Jr. in the fold against him in practice will help him develop and to be able to regularly see those types of rushers of which he struggles against.
Any update on Mooney?
The only update on Mooney is that there's no update on Mooney. They said, you know, they're kind of sticking to the couple weeks at this point. So I'm thinking that, you know, we got this week the preseason game against the Lions on Friday, and then we've got joint practices against the Titans next week, followed by that preseason game. And then I think so that following Monday, I believe, is the target of what I'm looking at for when we will see, we will hear about what is the next stage of the injury evaluation for him. At first, you know, like what we were first communicated was like the injury itself was just, he was going to be out for a few weeks. And then that terminology was kind of tweaked by Raheem Morris when he actually got to speak to him about it for the first time, where he said that it was going to be a few weeks and then we'll kind of see where we're at and go forward from there. So that Monday, so not next Monday, but the following is the date that I'm kind of pinpointing as when we might hear more about Mooney. But we, you know, hey, with him, you know, not obviously at practice, it's given some other opportunities to some other receivers. I got to say, David Sills is a guy who continues to step up and make plays. It hasn't really been for the first team. It's been a lot with Kirk Cousins, but the guy is really impressed. He's a former quarterback who played at West Virginia, then kind of went to a junior college and did a position switch to receiver. He's kind of bounced around some NFL teams on their practice squads the last several years as he tries to get his career going. And then also like guys like Chris Blair, some other players have gotten some valuable reps with Mooney out of the fold right now.
Another guy that could get in the fold is Casey Washington. He was on the radio station today. How has he looked?
Yeah, he's another one.
Is he looking?
Yeah, he's actually another one. There was another name that was escaping me from who got a shout out from Michael Penix about, you know, who was stepping up with Mooney out, and it was Casey Washington, actually. So I'm glad that you brought him up, and it makes sense that it would be Casey Washington, because he would have a rapport with Michael Penix from having both been on scout team last year, and those guys throwing to each other. And, you know, when Michael Penix was called up for his first start against the Giants last year, the team activated receivers like Chris Blair to play in that game because they have a rapport with one another, where he had not thrown to any of the starting receivers before that Wednesday practice of that game week. So, you know, it's good for Casey that he's got, you know, that rapport with his quarterback, but frankly, like, he's still been doing a lot of work with the twos, although I would say he got more work with the ones today. And he's a raw player. Like, when, and I think that was understood when they drafted him out of Illinois, just didn't have a ton of, you know, playing time, and especially like NFL level competition playing time in terms of the scheme and the quarterbacks who were throwing him the balls and was kind of asked of him there. But I would say that he's really, you know, showing the athletic gifts that he has. I mean, he's got great speed. He lays out for balls. He's got really good hand eye. You can see him, if he's not actually coming down with diving catches, you know, he's got his hands on the ball, and he's coming really close if he's not coming down with them. So that's great to see. And then I should also mention, Chris, you know, we can't go a segment without a little bit of Kyle Pitts talk. And he had a nice catch in the corner of the end zone today. But I think what's kind of getting overlooked with this, and I don't know if you've actually seen the video of it, but, you know, it was a nice throw by Michael Penix to that back corner. And it's actually the throw that I'm more like, that's like a good indicator. It's not so much that Kyle Pitts is the one that comes down with that ball, but I think that with Michael Penix, if you want this offense to be effective in the red zone, which is where you end up scoring your points, Penix is going to need to have the touch on those types of throws in particular. And it's a throw that he's struggled with. As even when we saw him last year, for as great as he was in those three games that we saw him, you saw him, you know, lack some of that touch, especially in the red zone towards those corners, especially in that game against Washington. So it was great to see Michael Penix and Kyle Pitts connect in that fashion.
So now that you're a social media star with a video that's getting hundreds of thousands of views, Do you feel any type of way that it's a video of the head coach of the team getting schooled? And if anybody missed it, Raheem Morris tried to relive his old DB days against Drake London and didn't go well, and he wound up on his tuchus.
Yeah. You know, you got to be wiser than that, I feel like. You got to have, you know, someone like Raheem Morris has been around the game so long. You don't walk out on some slick grass when it's rainy in your Jordans and think you can just, you know, get in press coverage against one of the best press cover beaters in the NFL and Drake London. And so, yeah, learning experience maybe there for Raheem Morris. As for me, you know, I'll remember, you know, those who I worked with previously in my career. You know, it was great to be with all of you, but obviously there's, you know, bigger and better things for me now that I'm able to produce this high quality video for the NFL, which they got to disseminate around.
Well, I'll tell you this, Joe, from the little video editing experience I have, I'm not sure that's a career path you want to go down, because you will be, you'll become that like coffee meme where it's spilling out of the coffee because your hand's shaking so much because you're on your 15th hour of video editing for a 2-minute video.
Nightmare.
Yeah, exactly. So maybe reporting is the path after all. Appreciate it, my friend. Yeah. We'll talk later in the week.
Thanks for having me on, Chris. Appreciate it.
That is Joe Patrick there. And we'll catch up with him again later this week, as there's another Falcons practice taking place tomorrow and Wednesday. And maybe that'll help distract us from the fact that the Braves suck, because they lost again 3-1. Scored a run in the first inning, Jurickson Profar, and did not score a run after that. And Eric Fetty gave up 3, and that was more than enough. We'll break all that down starting at the top of the hour at 10 o'clock. But when we get back, let's hear more from Flowery Branch, a bunch of the guys speaking today. What did they have to say as another physical practice in the books for your Atlanta Falcons? And then top of the hour, the Atlanta Baseball Postgame Show, 404-726-0929. Get ready to call and invent, Braves country. Oh, boy. We'll wrap it up next. Last chance for romance here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is Chris Thomas tonight, Turtle, with you till 10 o'clock. And then, oh yeah, I'm with you again from 10 to 11. It is the Atlanta Baseball Postgame Show. So if you are leaving Truist Park right now, or you just turned off your TV, or you're driving around the A, starting at 10 o'clock, call this number, 404-726-0929. It is, for the rest of the season, an open therapy session for the Atlanta Braves. We can specifically talk about the debacle that was this weekend at Bristol Motor Speedway. Austin Riley heading to the shelf, adding insult to injury, quite literally. And oh yeah, they lost the game tonight. So they continue their quest. Orin, I have a feeling this team is, they just want to see if they can do it. They're 17 games below 500. Can we get to 20 games below 500?
Oh my gosh, 20 is very doable. 25, I think, is the new high mark. It should be the high mark.
Like, people would have thought minimum the record would have been flipped this time this year.
Yeah.
Flipped.
You said third best odds.
Third best odds to win the World Series
this year.
This year. Not 5 years ago when they won it. This year. As in the year of our Lord 2025.
This year.
They are 47-64. I mean, my goodness. Like, the only way you could be that bad is if you lose your entire starting rotation. Oh, wait.
Hey, didn't that happen?
Oh, wait.
That couldn't have happened here.
No, wait. The only way you could be that bad is if you had a closer who literally couldn't close games.
No, that's not the Braves. Right? That was amazing.
Oh, wait a second.
He closed the game on Sunday.
He sure did.
And almost gave up a home run in the process, but he closed the game on Sunday.
He sure did. The only way you could be this bad is if you had an all-pro second baseman who turned into a exceedingly below average second baseman.
Ozzie Albies? No, that wouldn't happen to Ozzie.
That didn't happen.
Look at the back of his baseball card, Chris.
20 home runs a year as a second baseman.
Can't happen to Ozzie.
The only way this could happen is if you had a shortstop. Oh, wait. They don't have a shortstop. They went into the season thinking another year of Orlando Arcia would do the trick.
Wait, Orlando Arcia didn't work out for them this year?
You mean the Colorado Rockies shortstop?
He's
Orlando
not even
Arcia?
Here anymore, Chris?
Oh, man.
Oh, man.
I need to stop.
You didn't even mention Michael Ayers.
I got to stop because I got to do a whole hour on this coming up.
Didn't mention Michael Harris. Didn't mention Ronnie's injury. You didn't mention anything, all the other stuff. But that was enough. Was good enough. What you mentioned was good enough to get us to where we are right now.
You know what's really funny is what I said a couple of days ago that caught the eye. I don't know if it was ire or if it was just straight talk from Grant McCauley. Because when Grant needs to discipline you on something, meaning like another host on our station, he does so in just a very matter-of-fact way, and it hurts. It cuts deep. So I put out a tweet the other day after Ronnie got hurt again that said,
Grant, gotcha.
There is zero, in all caps, reason for Ronald Acuña Jr. to play another baseball game this season. And Grant was like, but what about the players' union and what about Ronnie? And he's not going to want to do that. And I was like, yeah, I mean, Grant, you're right. Of course you are, because you're the baseball guy and you know everything and I don't. And I'm not saying that tongue in cheek. He's a baseball savant. I'm saying that I don't care is, I guess, essentially what I'm saying. Like, that's really just what it comes down to. Like, Riley, Sale, Acuña, why should these guys play another game this season? Why? For what? Riley has, like, 15 home runs. Acuña missed the majority of the season. Again, I said this last week. If they were, you know, doing some of this for like personal accolades or something, or trying to compete for a batting title or an MVP, okay, I guess you could talk me into it. But to simply say, well, Turtle, they're baseball players. They need to play baseball. No, they don't. These guys are too critical for the future success of this team to be put back out there coming off of injuries to play for nothing. I don't care what the players' union has to say about it. He has a calf injury. There's no by the book or in timeline that a calf injury needs to follow. It's like, oh, well, he's out for 3 weeks, so he needs to be back now. No. Obliques, calves, hamstrings, quads, Achilles. Those injuries are all finicky. They all run on their own little timeline. You're telling me Acuña to rest and rehab a little bit, you know, there's no more minor league season, da 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 da. Yeah, that's all I'm saying, peeps. Like, find me the reason, and I'll listen, other than he has to. Like, other than, well, it's just the way we play baseball. Yeah, okay, but do you want a top three star in your game missing more time? Again, Rob Manfred, commissioner's office and MLBPA, do you want a top three star in your game, especially trying to develop the young Hispanic community who idolize him? Yeah, let's just have him miss 80 more games next year because he pulls a hammy again. I know it's a crapshoot. I know it could happen in any other year, but you're trying to grow this fan base, particularly the youngsters. You know how many kids across the world look up to Ronald Acuña Jr. in several different countries? Quite a few. Quite a few. And the dude can't stay healthy. So why are you putting him out there to play meaningless baseball games? Again, if he was going for something, if the team was going for something, okay, I get it. You put him in there. He's paid to play. But when you have literally nothing to pay for, to play for, I for the life of me, I cannot understand. So 404-726-0929, we are 10 minutes away from opening up the phones and taking your calls on all things Braves. We'll start, we'll go over the Speedway Classic from the weekend, we'll talk about the state of the team, and then we'll get into the game tonight, and you can touch on any, all, or if there's something else about the Braves that you want to talk about, that's what I am here for, that's what the Atlanta Baseball Postgame Show is all about. Before we get out of here tonight, I want you to hear from QB1. He was talking today. Michael Penix Jr. met the media. He had a lot of good things to say. Oren mentioned this earlier, another big connection from Pitts to or Penix to Pitts. And Michael Penix Jr. was talking about that connection after practice.
So it was just like almost like a red two. You know, the corner stayed flat-footed, so I had to basically just put it over the top of the corner's head and put it in a spot for him so he can get it, like you said, and that's all it was.
Yeah, and like he said after the first day of practice, y'all are going to see that a lot. It's going to happen some more. And I'm excited. The funny part about it is it's almost like we've been so frustrated with Pitts that, like, I think the assumption is that we're all rooting against him. I don't think anybody's rooting against him. Why would you? If he has success, that means the team is going to have success. I hope he has a great year. I think it's going to present a very interesting situation at the end of the year if he balls out. But that's a problem for then, not a problem for right now. Right now, you're just hoping that he could be the weapon that we all hoped he could be. This guy, James Pierce Jr. Apparently, he was ish stern again today at practice, and Michael Penix Jr. talked about the rookie and his temperament.
I notice his love for the game. He works extremely hard each and every day. He comes out here, you see him, he's drenched in sweat, and he's out there giving it 100% each and every play. Whatever happens after the play, we definitely want to clean that stuff up, but at the same time, you know, he's a competitor. He wants to compete at a high level, and that's what he does each and every day, and that's what we appreciate, and that's what we're going to love come game day on Sunday. So, as far as the scuffles and stuff like that, I mean, it's football. It get chippy. You know, it's not always going to be perfect. But obviously, you know, we can't throw any punches. I didn't see it today if any punches are thrown or anything like that. But we can't do, you know, unnecessary stuff. But man, he's a competitor, man. So I like it.
Yeah, and he's just got to know when to pick his spots. Just don't be dumb with it. That's all. And he's a rookie, and he's learning, and he's trying to make a name for himself. And I think he's doing a great job. Just don't be stupid with it, JPJ. That's all. Is that what we're going to call him, by the way? Is that official, JPJ? Sounds like it. Much like our new friend Narr with the Atlanta Hawks, Nikhil Alexander Walker, NAW. All right, let's focus here as we wrap up on the story of the day. And that is what the poll was on, and that is what we took calls on. Very interesting topic. Got a lot of response on this. Should either Michael Penix or Kirk Cousins play in the preseason? Neither or both. With a couple of hundred votes in, Oren, both crushing the poll at 56%. 56% of the audience that voted on the poll, again, at CT tonight, 929 if you haven't voted, say both quarterbacks need to get at least a little bit of run in the postseason. Interesting. Why are we talking about that today? Because Raheem Morris made this announcement when asked who was going to get run and who wasn't.
I'm in a great spot, but definitely you're leaning the right way. You know, we get a great, really good feel on after the scrimmage on who needs what you can get somebody, what you can get people. You know, obviously got a young football team, so there'd be a lot more people playing than we had last year. You have a couple young guys out there that's got to go out there and show some competitive things. You got some positions that are up for battles where you want to see some of those things happen. Obviously, that'll happen within our own scrimmage. That'll happen within the preseason games. And obviously, we got the practices coming up the following week. So, like, really feeling good about that and feeling good about some of those healthy competitions that's going to occur over the next couple of days.
Okay. That was a little convoluted. So, Michael Penix Jr. was asked directly, hey, man, why aren't you playing?
Yeah, that. And then, you know, I feel like he felt confident in the three games that I played last year. If I didn't play any of those games last year, maybe we would be talking about preseason games. But, he feels confident in what I can do come game day. So he didn't feel like I needed to play this week, I guess.
I guess there at the end. I wonder if he'd want to play. I mean, I guess, right? I guess he'd want to play, but it's taken out of his hands. And again, but that's not what Falcons found. I took a lot of calls in the 6 o'clock hour that were like, nah, some of these dudes need run, especially Kirk Cousins to me, because again, you want to showcase to other teams that he's healthy, that if they want to make a trade for him, you're getting a quarterback that's going to look like the guy in the first half of the season last year and not the last half. So interesting stuff. All right, Braves country, let's ride. It's me and you for an hour on the phones. 404-726-0929. How you feeling? We're going to hear from Grant McCauley. What did he have to say? If it wasn't bad enough, when it rains, it pours, literally. You have what happened at the Speedway Classic this weekend. You lose another game tonight. And how concerned are you about the future of this team? We just continue to see guys struggling on a night-in, night-out basis. The rotation's a mess. Bullpen's a mess. How are we going to get this thing fixed for next year? So we'll talk about all those topics and more, but whatever Braves country wants to talk about, that's what I'm here for. If you want to just vent, that's what we're here to do too. Talk about the state of this team. If you're driving home from Truist Park, how frustrating was this one where you get off to a great start with Jurickson Profar and then you don't do anything on offense after that? The number, as always, 404-726-0929. 404-726-0929. Braves country, let's talk. Me and you on the phones, the Atlanta Baseball postgame show from 10 to 11. That's coming up next.